Welcome to Trust Builders. I am super excited to have Isabel Bräutigam here from Custom Build. And Isabel, I am so excited because you're giving Trust Builders a construction marketing perspective. And we haven't had anyone that is a marketing professional on yet. So I'm really excited to hear your insights today.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here, Hannah. Excited to talk all things construction and marketing. It's what I live and breathe.
Yeah, so just quickly, your background. You've worked for Custom Build, which is a remodeling and design company, for about 7 years. And you're currently the marketing manager. Mm-hmm. But you also carved yourself out a niche as a industry advisor on HubSpot, right?
Yeah.
And then as part of your journey, you spearheaded the Ask You Answer journey that Custom Build went through. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. But I would love to start us off with a sort of deep dive on what is construction marketing like at the moment. What are people doing? I really see there's a focus on the tangible. Here's what we've done. Here's what we're the best. Look at us. Can you give us a little bit more insight there?
Absolutely. The construction industry is an interesting one. And I think over the past 30, 50 years, there have been a lot of changes. And it really is directly impacted by the economy in ways that a lot of other businesses aren't. Every business is, but there's just different aspects. And for us, being a design build company, we're definitely on the higher end. We work with homeowners through the entire process. We say there are typically three ways to remodel. There's the DIY, the self-managers, and then the people who choose a design build route, a company that will handle it all. And so when I think of marketing in the construction industry, I think of it as you've got several different aspects you can go through. You can test out different areas. And one of the big advantages in the construction industry right now is an online presence showing your tangible work. So there's obviously been a huge transformation with the internet, lots of changes that have happened over the past few years, specifically with AI entering the picture. And the construction industry is one that tends to lag. We don't see those results or those changes happen in our industry as quickly, where you would see a lot of changes in the tech industry catch up, and they're at the front spearheading all of that information and change. So for us, we've seen a big opportunity in strengthening our online presence, specifically to build trust with people before they even connect with us. So that's my big focus on our marketing team right now, is making sure that everything we are putting out there is something that will help our potential or future clients build trust with us and interact with us before we even have that first conversation.
Yeah. And I think when you go onto your website, now I'll put the link in the resources, that's absolutely apparent. And I think that sets you guys apart from a lot of other companies out there. I want to just go back to what is the norm at the moment. Why is it so, if you look at a lot of companies that are your competitors or other construction companies, they tend to say the same things. They tend to showcase their projects, which is great if they even do video. But they talk a lot about themselves. Why is that a problem?
Yeah, it's a great question, and one that is a huge opportunity in the construction space, because you cannot talk about yourself and build a lot more trust. So for us, our website, probably about 4 years ago, it said things like, we're the best residential remodeler in Lansing, or contact us for the most amazing remodeling experience. Different keywords like that, we're the best, we're the top, here's all of our certifications. It really is more of a brag rather than a tangible, here's our experience and we'll let you decide. And I think part of the reason is because a lot of construction owners aren't marketing minded and just really look to, hey, let's put our company out there so people can see us, understand who we are, which is great, but there's not that next step of how do we actually connect with our audience and with those who are looking to remodel. What are their fears, worries, and concerns before entering this process? What's their focus? Why are they even remodeling? Why would they click on our website? So for us, I have used the StoryBrand framework by Donald Miller. Mm-hmm. Incredible book. If you haven't read it, definitely recommend it. And I've used that to shape a lot of our language. Mm-hmm. We definitely still have a long way to go. I think one of the beautiful things about the StoryBrand framework is it's changing. So as our audience, as our clients change, which they do, they currently are, then the language that we use on our website to connect with our clients should change as well. During COVID, there's a lot of fears of people leaving the job site, materials not showing up. And we were able to address some of those core fears with content on our website and then with taglines on our website that address that specific pain point. Where now we're transitioning more into what I've experienced to be like people looking for that high-end product, not something that's quick, but something that's consistent, going to last for years to come. That's always been a need, but I see that more in our sales conversations now than ever.
So when you mentioned that your customers are currently changing, is that what you're seeing as a shift, that they're more spending more money because now hopefully we're past that economic recession and they're looking to make an investment that lasts, that really, so it's a very considered purchase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm seeing more of that. Right now it's really difficult, especially where we're at in Michigan, to buy housing and to find a home that is your forever home. So a lot of people now are considering, like, if we want to stay in this house, how can we make it our forever home? What are those changes, updates, modifications that will make this a space that we love to be in, that will, you know, change with us as we have a growing family, or be safe for us as we're aging in place in this home? So we've seen a bit of a transition there where people will call us and say, hey, we're considering moving, but there's nothing in the market that we like. And so we're here. We're going to remodel our home, invest in it, because we want to be here for years to come.
Awesome. Okay. So you mentioned about 4 years ago, your website was saying things like, we're the best and look at our credentials. But now something happened. You said you started the Ask Your Answer. Take me through the first sort of how you discovered it, and then what were the first 6 months of that journey?
Yeah. So our owner, Michael, he heard of They Ask You Answer through a business associate of his, friend, I want to say almost 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he is a visionary minded person. So he got the idea in his head and he said, this is where we're going. We will do this one day. I don't know how, but we will. And because of that, he purchased HubSpot and transferred all of the CRM data over into HubSpot, which was fantastic. And from there, we at the time just had a lot of third-party marketing companies that we were working with. We mainly had one, and then there was just a couple transitions throughout the years. And then I started with a company really just in more of a client service seat. So I would answer phones, input information to HubSpot. And I started taking HubSpot courses and loved their platform, started coming to him with ideas. Hey, here's a way we can simplify our sales process, streamline information for our clients, keep things more organized. And he loved it. And so we collaborated a lot. And then eventually I started working full time in that client service seat. And really one of my main roles was to oversee HubSpot and make sure that we were implementing it into the company. And from that, I entered into my marketing manager seat. It was a pretty easy transition for me because I got to see basically the backbone. HubSpot is the backbone of our marketing platform at Custom Built. So we use that for everything marketing related and then all of our customer analytics. So that was the beginning part of the journey. And then I entered, I'm trying to remember the whole time frame. I believe I had entered into my role as the marketing manager, and then a month later, we started with They Ask You Answer with the Impact team on actually coaching and training us in the program. And then from there, we hired our first content manager, and that was a journey in and of itself. I would say for anybody who's thinking about starting the They Ask You Answer journey, definitely make sure you have somebody in your company to spearhead it. And I was that person, because it will be a frustrating process, but it is a 100% worth it and rewarding process at the end once you've implemented it. But that journey along the way is going to take somebody who is tenacious, heads down, hardworking, knows what they want, and goes for it amidst all obstacles.
It's actually the really funny part about They Ask You Answer, because you read the book. And you're like, oh, I wish I would have, yeah, I need to do this. And I should have done this 2 years ago. And it's such a duh moment, right? You're like, oh, yeah, of course I need to do this. And it all sounds very easy. But once you really start, you have no idea. And a lot of times marketing managers start this journey, right? And then try to implement it into their organization. But they often struggle because they reach boundaries immediately because they understand it as a content marketing framework rather than it's a corporate culture shift that has to happen.
Yes, true. It's actually a sales first initiative powered right. by marketing, which then transforms the whole organization. But for us, when we initially started, I thought of it as this is a marketing first approach that we're going to get sales to come along with. And it doesn't work well that way, to be frank. It is much better if you can get your sales team bought in and then bring the marketing assets and powers to back that up. So what happened when we started is we basically told our sales team, hey, we're doing this new program, like, you're going to be on camera, you're going to be writing articles, and it's going to be great. You're going to sell more because of it. And they all thought, okay, when we told them initially, but when it actually came down to, okay, we're writing articles, we're in videos, it was a struggle because they didn't understand the success that could come from it. And they really didn't understand and grasp, hey, this is changing the whole brand of custom built and actually going to help you build trust with clients before you get in the home, which as a salesperson, that's the best thing you can do is walk into somebody's home and they're like, oh yeah, come on in, come sit down at my table, excited to chat with you, because they already have that trust. So we made that mistake up front and we had to unravel that in our journey with Impact.
Because a lot of times salespeople, when you go that route, they feel like, oh great, now in addition to my full-time job, I also have to do some tasks for marketing that I really don't have time. I'm really busy. But when you're seeing it the other way around, where it is a sales, as you said, a sales first initiative and marketing helps you, it changes the whole entire picture. So how did you get your salespeople then to come on board and make that transition?
Yeah. So honestly, it was a lot of knocking my head against several different walls. And I would say it took us about a year and a half of the 2 years that we were in Impact's program to really have some transformation. And even now, like, we are seeing drastic, changes within our sales team because of some of the They Ask You Answer principles and what Impact has taught us. So we're still being transformed to be more of a They Ask You Answer organization. And that's part of They Ask You Answer, is that you have this mindset of never-ending learning and you're focused on growing with the market and changing with your clients rather than staying the same. So for us, it looked like we had weekly sales meetings that I was involved in. We would talk about content, about video, and it just didn't really click with our team. There was a lot of resistance, hesitation, and really the biggest thing that made the biggest change that we saw is two things. One, I got a videographer on our team who was really excited. He is earlier in his career and very passionate about what he does, but he approaches it in a way that's very down to earth. And so that was a big shift, because our previous videographer wasn't that way. And it was more, hey, this is what you need to do. There wasn't a lot of conversation involved. So we had to rebuild trust in the marketing standpoint of, hey, we're actually here to support you. We're not here to tell you what to do. And we want you to succeed in the long run. And then the second thing was seeing results. So I remember the first time one of our sales team members came into our sales meeting was like, I had the weirdest experience. I went to a home. I got out of the truck. They came out and greeted me. Hey, Jacob, what's up? How are you? And I was taken aback because they seemed to know me, but I didn't know them. And through more questions, he found that they had watched one of his videos or multiple of his videos on our website, and they were all pumped up. And it was a moment of belief where he was like, wow, this actually works and can change. So that story, compiled with many other stories like that, have really helped us get our sales team excited and just own it. They now are, telling me content ideas and hey, can we shift this on the website? And those are some of my favorite conversations to have.
That's awesome. I hear this story so many times that people come into someone's home, because I do work a bunch in the construction space or home improvement, and they're like, hi, and like exactly what Jacob experienced. You mentioned a bunch of times that mindset shift, and it's clear to me, but someone who is listening, they might not be aware of what exactly we mean by that. So when we have this, we talked about the mindset initially being, oh, we're the best, come and look at us, here's why you should choose us, here's our credentials. What's the new mindset that you are now embracing?
It goes back to one of our core principles here. It's being a trusted guide. So we always want to guide our clients to the best solution, whether that's with our company or not. And that's always been something I would say we have strove for and gone after. But They Ask You Answer was really another level of that, because now we're creating content that says the best five or the top five remodeling companies in Lansing, Michigan, and we're not on the list. And we've had people come up to us and be like, what is that about? And really, it's about creating a place of trust. Like, we understand there's other competitors out there that you're probably going to go talk to two or three other companies. And so we want to help you by giving you unbiased information, because we do have inside information. Like, we understand the industry. We know the competitors. We've been around for years. And so it starts with us being a trusted guide, really by providing them educational information to help guide their remodeling journey.
So the fact that you are not putting yourself on a list might be surprising to some. Why are you not putting yourself on the list? You said unbiased information, but you could still write it in a way that it appears unbiased. Why not put yourself on the list?
Yeah, I think it comes back to some of the They Ask You Answer principles, which is we're not trying to sell ourselves. So by me putting us on the list at all, I am trying to sell myself. However, I'm not going to sit here and say that I don't want us to sell more remodeling projects, because that's my whole, you know, goal here is to get more leads and close more clients that are a good fit for us. So they're coming to our website. They're seeing our logo up in the top. They're reading through the article. We've got an outro on the bottom that actually does say, hey, if you're interested in connecting with a company like us, here's our link. So while we're not listed in the top five, we do have our information all around. They're on our website. They're coming to see us. And we've had conversations with clients. It has caused them to stop and think, why is Custom Built not on this list if they're creating this list? And it just goes back to building trust and being unbiased.
Because if you put yourself on a list, the whole perception completely changes, right? Oh, yeah, they just created this article to put themselves on a list. To make themselves appear like the... Now, staying on your website a little bit, I've noticed that almost every single website page has a video. And I checked out your YouTube channel, and it has 94 educational videos. Like, really? Here's a question that a buyer would ask, and here's the answer, and we explain it in depth. Tell us a little bit more of why you chose to embrace video in such an extent, and how that has impacted how you market and sell.
Yeah. So written words definitely help build trust, but seeing a person on the camera actually explain something to you does something completely different to the human brain in connection and relationship. So for us, we read They Ask You Answer. That's one of the principles, that you have a full-time videographer, that you're releasing at least two videos per week that are education-focused, not about your company and selling yourself. So for us, we just dove in. We said, yes, we want to do that. We want to be an unbiased resource with trustworthy information. Again, going back to being a trusted guide in our space, that was our whole goal from the beginning and still moving forward. So we bought it. We're like, we see that, we believe that. And now we've seen the results of that when clients have come to us and said, hey, by the way, when we first reached out to you, I already knew who Jacob was. Isabel, I know who you were. And it's cool to put a face to the name. Great to meet you. And so we've had a lot of those encounters, and it just is really cool to see. Not only am I saying it builds trust, but it actually does build trust. And we've had lots of examples of that.
I mean, you take it to a very granular level. on every, next to every form that you have on your website, there's a video of you explaining what happens when you fill out the form. That is taking things to, and it's one of, honestly, one of the best examples of videos that I've seen. And I encourage everyone to check them out because they're really, you explain it in such a very detailed and trustworthy way of here's, you're going to get one email from this person. We're going to take your privacy seriously. I love it.
Yeah. That was one of the things that we actually have recently done. And on the back end, yes, it's proven that if you have a video on your form page, you will get more conversions. But again, going back to being a trusted guide, if there's hesitation with filling out a form, like who is this company? What are they going to do with my information? It is really important to me that people know we are a trustworthy space when you give us your information as well as before that point. So that is one of the reasons that of many that we have decided to put videos next to all of our forms.
Yeah. So we talked a lot about building trust, and I love it because that's literally the only thing that it comes down to in business, right? Like building trust is essential. But let's, in addition to building trust, let's have a look at what was the impact of all these changes that you've made on your marketing, but maybe even more importantly, on your sales.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had a couple incredible years of sales. I can't credit all of that to my marketing, the changes that we've made in marketing. A lot of it has to do with there's fluctuation in the economy and everything, but we have really seen a lot of consistency across the board, especially with lead inflow. So for us, we are, I wouldn't say very seasonal company, but we definitely see a huge uptick in the spring, like a lot of other construction companies. Pretty consistent through the summer, starts to die off in the fall, and then dead in the winter, and then begins back up. And so my focus with this They Ask You Answer journey has been to smooth out specifically the fall and winter timeframe for us so that we are still receiving leads. Because as a design build company, it does take a while to get a client from their dream phase to the actual, you know, production phase. They're ready to build their space. So we've got a lot of design work that we have to do in there. And oftentimes people don't realize that could be a 2-3 month process. So it's good for me to reach out in the fall because then by spring, my deck is built, is ready to be built, and we're not just starting in the spring. So for us, we've seen our lead flow be very consistent. We've also seen our website traffic spike immensely. We have definitely quadrupled our traffic. We were not getting a lot of traffic before, and we are getting a ton of traffic. But to me, traffic is somewhat of a vanity metric if we're not getting the localized traffic and leads, but we are. So we've localized a lot of our content to make sure that we're aiming it towards the clients that are actually going to buy from us. And we've seen a lot of leads from organic search specifically.
What is a good example of how you can localize your content to make that happen?
Yeah. So it starts with a title, including the city location. So for us, Lansing, Okemos, East Lansing, those are some of the major cities. So if I create an article for the top 5 remodeling companies in Lansing, Michigan, that is going to perform a lot better for us because we're not competing with everybody else in the United States. We're just talking Lansing, Michigan, and we are likely one of the only ones writing that content, which right now we really are outside of Angie's List and Howe's and some of those other larger companies. We are the only one who's created an article with that topic.
Any other additional tips other than putting the keyword in? Maybe, do you, I don't know how large your service area is, but is there regional differences in terms of potential water damage or flood risk or wind damage, like things that you can address in a localized area?
Yeah. So our content manager does a fantastic job of that. He actually is out in California. And so he works with our sales team as the subject matter experts and really is able to get information out of them to create that localized content. In Michigan, we tend to see a lot of really cold weather in the winter and warm, humid weather in the summer. So we address a lot of that in our content, whether it's caring for your deck structure, how to take care of composite decking, what does it look like to seal your house up for the winter, and some of those tips and tricks that we give. So we definitely infuse not only weather habits and patterns, but we also will talk about specific areas of town. And we try to use some of those keywords that we live in Lansing. We know what it's like there. So let's put that information in there so that our local readers know and trust us more. They're actually experiencing us being in the area through an article and not just on our website and because of our address.
You mentioned something really important there that I see a lot of times. You said your content manager is in California, but he interviews your sales team because they are the subject matter experts.
Yeah.
Now, anyone who's worked with a marketing agency for content before knows that there's a little bit of an interview process going on, but the quality of content you're getting is not really something that you, is nothing compared to the quality of content that you're getting having someone in-house interviewing your subject matter experts. Have you seen a big quality shift there?
Yeah, we have. So we've got a pretty thorough review process as well. So he typically will interview for about 15 to 20 minutes, get all the information, draft the article. I review it and give feedback. Then he makes those changes. Then our sales advisor, whoever it was that he interviewed, will review it, give feedback. If there's additional changes, then it might go through one more round of I review it and then the sales advisor reviews it. So we spend quite a bit of time on our articles. We put out 3 articles per week. And so we constantly are churning and working hard to move our content through the pipeline. It can be easy to get bogged down, especially I find about once a month we've got 3 tough articles. 3 articles where we really have got to put our minds to it. We've got to get multiple SMEs involved to make sure the information is accurate. But the end result is that we are creating helpful, trustworthy content for our clients. And again, that's our heartbeat here. That's what we want to do. And so it goes back to our mission, our focus, and we do that through creating content right now. And so it's worth it for our whole team to spend that time to do it.
Makes sense. Is there any way that you're using AI at the moment to speed any of these steps up that you just mentioned?
Yeah. So our content manager, Joey, he does use some AI in writing the articles to help with that process. And then he uses it for some editing purposes. And then once it gets over to me and our sales manager, or not our sales manager, but our sales advisors, we don't use any AI at that point. So it's really only in the creation process, which does help immensely with the time it takes to write an article. He's able to be a lot quicker at it and get things through the pipeline smoothly, which is helpful. But we definitely, I like to use this term, and I got it from Impact, AIO, and it's AI plus human optimization. And so it's this idea that, yes, we can use AI to help speed up the process, but we never want to use AI so it sounds like a robot. We always want it to have our brand voice, the unique things that we would say, unique localization, all of that that we put into our articles.
I think that is something that a lot of people misunderstand about AI, because when you are using AI to write complete articles, it is trained on the internet. It is just regurgitating what is already has been said. Whereas if you are interviewing someone, another human with a lot of subject matter expertise, and then you're just using it as a tool to make that process faster and more efficient and maybe give you a little bit of, sometimes you struggle to find a word or an expression that helps you rewrite certain things, but it makes it just faster, but you're still you.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, I like to do a little segment in this podcast of a random rant.
Okay.
And it's about 90 to 120 seconds. I'm not going to time you, but is there anything that is a pet peeve of yours that you really, it bugs you so much?
Yeah.
Can you think of one?
Does this have to be in context of work or just what's the parameters?
Sales and marketing would be great.
Marketing. Okay. All right. So one of my biggest pet peeves when we're creating articles is that we don't focus it on questions that our clients are actually answering. So we have created articles and put articles out that our teams, this would be fantastic. And it has gotten zero traction. And it really comes down to understanding our clients and what they're asking, focusing our topics around that rather than focusing it around what we think would be helpful for our clients to learn. So there's a balancing act because, yes, we need to teach on our process. We need to explain what it's like to work with our modeling company, a design build firm, the three options, when remodeling, some of those questions that clients might not ask upfront. But really, we need to tune into their brains. What are the questions that they're asking that they're actually going to look up on Google? And then put our energy towards creating those and making those the best articles possible. So for me, it's like when I see an article come through the pipeline and it doesn't resonate, I go back and I'm like, all right, we need to rethink here, refocus our team on, hey, here's our purpose to answer questions. And this is not one of those.
I think there's so many marketing managers and content writers who can absolutely sympathize with you right now, because we all know this situation. If we've written content before, boss walks through the door, I had this idea, we should write about this we just got this award, we should talk about that.
Yes.
No one cares.
Exactly. It'll be a beautiful article on our website that nobody will click on. So that is a pet peeve of mine. And my marketing team, Joey and Matthew, they both do a fantastic job at really vetting those topics. But every once in a while, we'll have somebody who's very persistent and wants to create this topic, and it's going to be a gold mine, and it is not a gold mine. So
that's called they ask, you answer.
Absolutely. Yes.
Awesome. Good. What is, to someone who's listening, either another marketing professional in the construction industry or a business owner of a construction business, what would be your advice that you would give them?
Yeah, I would say they ask you answer is an incredible journey that has transformed our entire company. And it has pushed us out of our comfort zone. It has caused us to ask questions about who are our clients. Like, why are we doing this? What does video actually help us with? And so if you are in the position where your marketing is stalling, your company is not getting a lot of traction, and you're just frustrated and not sure what to do next, I would, one, encourage you to read the book They Ask You Answer and get some enlightenment, excitement about what could be. And then two, to try out some of those things. Try writing an article and put it out. One article is not going to get you a lot of website traffic, but it could get you some traction. It could, when you share it on Facebook, somebody else could share it. It could get you a potential client. I would say if you are struggling at all with where you're at in marketing and sales, read They Ask You Answer and then start to implement the principles on your own. And when you get to that point where you've been implementing for a while, you've created a couple of videos, you've done some content creation, at that point, like, our journey would not have been the same without the Impact Plus team and having their coaching and guidance. So I would recommend then reaching out to them at that point to actually have a guide in your journey, because they know so much about marketing and have coaches for every aspect, from HubSpot to content writing to AI to leadership and development. And so they're a really fantastic team. But the power in working with their team only comes if you are fully bought in and have already made some of those changes. So for us, like, it would have been better for me to maybe hit my head against the wall a couple more times with my sales team before we started coaching, because it would have allowed us to be more efficient and effective throughout the process.
Makes complete sense. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Other than obviously reading They Ask You Answer, what is one book that you've read, and that's my last question for you, in the last 6 to 12 months that has changed your life?
Radical Candor. Yes, such a good book. That one, I've read it now 3 times, and I will be going back and reading it a 4th time this next quarter. And Kim Scott just does such a fantastic job of talking about problems that you will experience in the workplace, in life, in relationships, and giving you the tools to communicate well. Because at the end of the day, whatever we do, there is relationships involved and communication is necessary. And so she does a fantastic job. I am definitely a forever fan of that book and will read it multiple times in my life. So
There is a reason why it's the top of my pile.
Then I can see it. Oh yes, such a good one. Yeah,
I keep on coming back to it. Just the nutshell of it: clear is kind.
Yes,
and it's just absolutely changed my life. I love teaching it to my clients, because when you see the light bulb go on, and then they change how they talk to their employees, you change how you talk to your spouse, to your children. I have two teenagers. Very much changes how I interact with them. Absolutely love it.
Yeah. And another piece in the book that really transformed me is understanding that people typically lean towards one of two communication paths: ruinously empathetic or obnoxiously aggressive. Yeah. And for me, I am more ruinously empathetic in nature. That's just how I communicate and what I lean towards. And hearing some of the testimonies in the book and just understanding the process of going, yeah, clear is kind. That sums it up right there. Is if you're not clear, it's not kind. And as a person who tends to lean more towards that, the thought pattern is, if I don't say it, they'll figure it out. It's not that big of a deal. They'll do better next time. But the reality is, if we're not communicating and being upfront, then we are not being kind to those around us. And so that has changed my whole perspective on relationships, communications. It's a book that I will forever have in my bookshelf.
Yeah. And it's a good read for any, not only business owners, but salespeople, yeah. Literally for anyone who communicates, which
yes, we all are. We all do. My team and I just did a book club this last quarter, and we focused all around, we read Radical Candor and talked through it and had some of the coolest discussions. Like I am their boss. I'm sitting in the room, but for us just to, I don't think like that. So I'm like, I'm just another person in the room. Like I'm your colleague. We're working together. We're going towards the same mission. And so we had some of the best conversations, and both of them said it has transformed how they think and communicate with people in their lives, which I love to hear. And I'm all about that. So.
Awesome. With that, I truly appreciate your insight and you coming on, spending some time with us and just sharing your great experience and your great journey. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Bye.